keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's bona fide talk.
Bona fide talk. Bona fide talk, yeah.
God first in your walk, baby, and that's bona fide talk. Yes, it is. Praise God, church. I am your host, Evangelist Falana, a.k.a. Bona Fide Talk, and you are listening to the Christian radio broadcast Bona Fide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. We are delighted that you have joined us today and equally delighted about our featured guest this evening. But before we get started, let us open up tonight's radio broadcast with a prayer, okay? So clear all hearts and mind, please. Dear God, we come to you now with thanksgiving. Dear God, we just want to say thank you for everything that you do and have done for us. We thank you for your blessings and even our tough love blessings that you send our way to discipline us, because we know that you chastise us only because you love us. Dear God, I ask that you give me and the featured guest the appropriate words to say so that we are able to minister to the needs of your people. I ask that you shield us from the tactics of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, up to and including trying to block this message from coming forth tonight on tonight's radio broadcast. It's all about you, dear God. Dear God, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Here is a message from our sponsor, Pastor Frank Henderson of Excel Fellowship.
What's up, everybody? It's your man, Frank Henderson, the pastor of Excel Fellowship Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's an honor to meet you and to come to you right here on Bonafide Radio. Check it out. Excel Fellowship Church, we meet every Sunday at 11 a.m. at 3908 Arrow Drive, right here in the big city of Raleigh, North Carolina. Our mission is real simple. We are reaching the lost, equipping the saints, and manifesting Christ. We look forward to seeing you real soon. Okay, now let's get back to Bonafide Talk.
Welcome back, guys. You're listening to live to Bona Fide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. It is now time to present our featured guest. This man of God is everywhere, okay? Evangelism, outreach, music ministry, all of that he does. He loves outreach the most. High accolades in cities such as Oakland, Fairfield, Inglewood, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Texas, and Atlanta, just to name a few. Not to mention he has received many accolades and certificates in these areas. His music always runs with a bullet on the charts. Let's put your hands together for the man of God, Evangelist Andre Beam, affectionately known as Simply Dre.
Hey, honey.
Hey, hey.
Andre.
Hello, hello, hello.
You are always, almost always busy, so I am grateful to you that you took time out of your busy schedule to be the featured guest on Bona Fide Talk this evening. First thing I'd like to know, Andre, what is a typical week like for you? How do you juggle it all?
You know, I'll be honest and truthful with you. I've learned my secret, like Paul had his. Paul said he learned the secret of being content no matter what situation he was in. And that is, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I have to also look to the hills from which cometh my help. Day by day, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, don't worry about tomorrow. But tomorrow has enough significance and is enough worries in itself. So therefore, I just live my life day by day. But I allow God, my sister, to order my steps. God must order my steps because I have been mandated, I have been assigned, I have been commissioned, if you will, to do what he has asked and called me to do. And I can't just do that any old kind of way. So it's not only do the way I plan my day out, but I also have to pay attention to the people I'm around, to the cars that I get in, the airplanes that I ride, the trains. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So I allow God to just order my steps and allow that Holy Spirit to work through me. That gives me it gives me a kind of like almost, if you will, provision. The Bible says that when the Spirit of truth comes upon you, it'll show you what is true. So if I don't operate in the prophetic spirit, I'll be honest and truthful with you, I'm leaning to my own understanding, and my day will be all messed up. So I allow God to order my steps, and that's how that happens for me. A typical week for me.
Wow. So now, are you like I hear P. Diddy is, a man who acquires minimal sleep?
Do I do what now?
Are you like what I hear P. Diddy is like, a man who requires minimal sleep?
I'm going to be honest and truthful with you, yes. Yes, as you know, I was just coming in from, me and you were talking before I went to L.A. I went and got the rental car, jumped on the freeway. You and I was talking, and then I just got back and had to go and minister at a church today out here in El Cerrito, the beautiful city of El Cerrito, the Bay Area, if you will. And I fell asleep. I did a little cat nap in the car. Very important to get my rest, but sometimes my week, during my week, and God, he lets me know how far I can go. And when I shut down, I have to just close my eyes and go to sleep. You might find me sleeping in the parking lot right in front of IHOP.
Oh, Lord. But you're going to get your rest then, amen?
I'm going to get my rest. But I require, I require only a little sleep. I don't know. It's just something that my body is accustomed to. I get about 4 to 5 hours, and I'm up and at them.
Right. Well, you know, God will always equip us to do what he has in mind to do. Amen?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Evangelist Andre, your testimony is out of this world. Now, the last time you were on Bonafide Talk, I was on the KLJN 107.7 Radio Network with the wonderful creator and executive producer of the KLJN Network, Lady Jazz. Love you, Lady Jazz. I'm anticipating her any moment now. I hope she goes ahead and presses one. So, yes, we discussed your bouts with crack cocaine and your eventual inevitable transition into ministry. Can you share some of that with us, please, for those of us that weren't here for your previous visit on Bonafide Talk?
Well, you know what? I always tell them that my testimony is real quick. I say it's from the crack pipe to the prison to the pulpit. I was on my way to L.A. The other day, and I can remember my previous trips there. Sometimes I tiptoe through the tunnels of Sunset, and I hit them corners, and I go down Skid Row. You take the worst looking person on Skid Row, and that was Evangelist Andre Bean outside of the will of God. As a matter of fact, you take the worst looking person on Skid Row or in your neighborhood, and that is yourself, whoever's listening to this interview. That is you outside of the will of God. And so I experienced the drugs growing up in the cold streets of Richmond and Oakland, California. I experienced like Tupac said, a lot of his leaders and a lot of people who implemented certain things in his life was dope dealers, killers, and pimps and things of that nature. You know, sometimes you can become a product, but glory be to God that I had a praying mother, I had a praying grandmother, I had relatives, uncles, and aunties, glory be to God, who knew that this wasn't the role that God had chosen, that this wasn't the way that they raised me. So there were some things that was really designed to take my life. I shouldn't be having this interview with you today along with all the other things that I've been doing. But when I was in prison, he covered me. When I was on drugs, going down those streets, we have a street in Oakland, California that they call MacArthur. Back then, they used to call it CrackArthur. When I was on that boulevard, just doing what, you know, outside of the will of God, his design is to kill us. The enemy doesn't want to just hurt your, he don't want to hurt your foot or hurt your leg. He wants to kill us, you know. And so, and I thank God for prayer. For prayers of the righteous, because it definitely availed much. And today I am a living testimony and living proof of what God can do. And as you always know, I tell them that God can take a fool and make a tool, because I was foolish out there.
Amen, amen. And we all know, ladies and gentlemen, that the devil's job is to come out to steal, kill, and destroy. But by the grace of God,
it.
He did not destroy your glory. Jesus.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Bonafide Talk family, we're going to go into another commercial break. Here is one of my personal favorites from Evangelist Andre Bing. One of his music songs out of his music collection. Folks, here is him on the inside.
Dre, what's good, man? I see you doing good even in spite of all these haters we got out here, man. What's going on?
Oh, you know what? I be trying to tell them. I mean, you know you can't have a public display without first having a private practice. It ain't nothing but him on the inside. You heard me?
That's what I'm talking about, him on the inside.
I'm about to make it rain up in here, though.
Make
you ready?
It rain. Let's go. People want to hate because we dish more than they take. And that's because they used to getting something less than great. But it's okay. It ain't about what we display. It's about the way he all in our veins. And that's why we say.
Come on, everybody, let's all get down and just clap your hands to this funky sound. Don't know about you, but I come to dance. Stop trying to be cute and lift up your hands. When it comes to this here, see, I don't play. Just as sure as my name is Simply Dre. So if you come to lift him up, then
show me what he do.
If it feel real good, then
show me what he do.
It's all right if you strut, all right if you scream.
Oh.
Something by his name, y'all know what I mean. Come on, everybody, y'all know what's up. Don't know about you, but I come to lift him up.
It's him on the inside, working on the outside. Him on the inside, working on the outside. Him on the inside, working on the outside. Go on, lift him up, go on, lift him up.
See, I don't lift him up cause I got a little something. Cause I can remember days when I didn't have nothing. But that's when your haters
start to hating on me.
But your haters didn't know
that he was working on me.
Then it's funny how to act cause I got a little change. And some of y'all tripping thinking I'ma really change. And even though some of y'all
change like the weather,
I'ma still love you cause
mama taught me better.
Yo, Dre, what to say when they see me on the block? Simply Dre, what to say now they see me on top? And it ain't my fault that you didn't believe. But what could really happen when I'm on my knees? 10,000 records sold, artists of the month. And when I'm in the studio, I ain't smoking blunt. Gotta keep a clear mind when I rock on the mic.
Cause even though I don't wanna be, I'm in the spotlight. It's him on the inside, working on the outside. Him on the inside, working on the outside. Him on the inside, working on the outside. Go on, lift him up, go on, lift him up.
Him on the inside, working on the outside. Him on my left side, even on my right side.
Wait a minute, Rain. You can't be playing with this thing now. People out there listening now.
Okay.
Make it rain.
I see you looking even. You stop for a second, man, and now you thinking. I'ma tell you, picture self playing. You ain't dreaming. Cause when you take a look at me, I know you see him. But I will never take credit. Forget it while I'm breathing. And yeah, you gon' hear his voice every time I'm speaking. And even when I leave your presence, you gon' know the reason. Cause I'ma point up to the sky like it ain't a secret. You wanna meet him. Indeed, I'ma bring them and feed them, demolishing demons. Have people peeping on the sideline, they finally believing. I'm born to reach them and teach them, and that's exactly the reason. He blessed me with the gift to rap and got you to receive it. I mean it, I'm needed, I know it, and there ain't no mistake. That's why he take a rain and combine me with Dre. You see, he had to put a mic in between all the blaze, so people feeling the conviction, consider the flame. I know you see the shine, and you peeping the grind. Got people all on my line, and it ain't even mine. It's only by design that I'm even writing this rhyme. Man, I do it to keep God on your mind. Yeah, I'ma shine.
What I tell y'all, man, I knew y'all wasn't ready for this one. Oh, like I said, they gon' keep on hating, but it's all right with me. Tell them, Rain.
Him on the inside, working on the outside. Him on the inside, working on the outside. Him on the inside, working on the outside.
Go on, lift him up.
Go on, lift him up.
I love that. I love that. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. And, you know, Evangelist Andre, I want to dedicate that to my pastor, Pastor Frank Henderson with Excel Fellowship. He just preached a wonderful sermon about haters and how, you know, we need to be aware of them and their seemingly non-existence, and even when they're bold enough to come to the forefront. But it's just like you told me on social media, your haters is what builds you. Amen?
Amen. 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 We need the haters. We need the haters. We need the haters. And understand this. Understand this. As leaders, we have to understand that the Bible says that God reigns on the just and the unjust. So even if they're operating in a way that we know is uncalled for, bad conduct, all we do is just pray for them. Now, when they come in your face with it, that's one thing. But social media,
right,
and all that other stuff, They can do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to do. Matter of fact, me and Brother Rodney Alamo, we always speak on the fact that they hated Jesus with all the cause. And then the Bible tells us to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. When Jesus was on his death, what did he say? Forgive those. Now, look at the same with the haters, for they do not know what they do. And they don't know who they doing it to.
You better preach that,
yeah.
Andre. Go ahead,
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Amen. That is the truth, honey. Well, Andre, I've been waiting for Lady Jazz to pop on, and she hasn't pulled into the studio just yet. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and get this discussion going. Wow, right? The absentee,
yes,
rate of our men and families across the country is at a staggering record high, you know, and the male absentee rate in the church across the country is at a staggering record high. I don't know, Andre, I'm just thinking, could this be a contributor to much of the chaos that we're dealing with today and why so many people are confused across the board right now?
Well, I tell you right now, sis, when we look at, I do many radio shows and talk shows and some TV shows, and a lot of people, we do talk about the things that are going on in today's time in society. And I'm going to be honest and truthful with you, and I have to just keep it. I have to tell you from the way God has given it to me. When I look at it and I say, why are these things going on? One of the things is the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that there is a way unto man that seem right, but in the end it is death. Man has gotten so accustomed, conditioned, and conformed to doing the wrong thing to where he does it so much he thinks that is right. And it's hard for somebody to take him out of that. Now, you have to understand that the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and principalities in high places. So that means that it starts from all the way from the top, those politicians and presidents and kings and different people who are able to cause propositions and rules to get changed and make decisions that affect the nation. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Timothy, Paul was talking to Timothy, we got to pray for those who are in authority. So what has happened essentially is people have taken God out of the equation. Why do you think God tells us, lean not to your own understanding, but in all, A-L-L. Something real simple but for complicated people. In all your ways, trust in the Lord, and he will direct your path. So if God,
amen,
ain't directing your path, then who directed you? If you're not following God then or his principles, then who or what are you following? And so when you do not allow God to be, I can't just say be the head of your life, but then again, I can say it, because I'm not trying to turn nobody into something holy, roly. I'm not trying to say, but I'm telling you right now, it's getting to that point to where every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, because
hello,
there is some things that are going on in today's time in society. Even the atheist will get on his deathbed and call on our God. Because, as far as what's happening with our man has to continue to implement God. He has to continue to allow God to be the head of his life. And we can't just talk about it. We got to be about it. We got to be about it, because what's happening is it's causing division. What did Jesus say come before a great fall? Pride.
Amen.
Pride comes before a great fall. I open up my church, you open up your church, he opened up his church, he opened up his church, he opened up his church. We give a church picnic and none of the other churches are invited.
That's something. No. What I was going to say to you is what I'm hearing from you, and I'm in agreement with you. You know, if we kept this thing biblical, even if our leaders, the people that are attempting to run the world, if we kept things fair and kept rules based on biblical principles, we wouldn't be having the issues that we're having. And I'm looking at the statistics that I looked up, Andre, you know, regarding, let's say, the fatherless homes. Did you know, and I'm sure you do, ladies and gentlemen, that approximately 30% of all of our American children are born into single-parent homes? And I'm not trying to be racist. It is what it is. For our community, the African-American community, that figure is 68%. That's mind-blowing to me, Andre. What happens if it takes a village to raise a child? What's going on?
Well, the village is not coming together. A village, it comes together in unity. People come together, and the village is not coming together. And this is why no matter what, however we can talk about, however we want to take this thing, however we want to take it, we have the people who claim to have a relationship with God, you look, okay, what you just spoke on, that is something that just hurts my heart. You know, and I've heard these statistics before. You know, and to my sisters, that's why in the song "Are You Listening," which I know you will eloquently hit that button, and we're gonna listen to that a little later on today. But that's why,
amen,
I said, you know, your body is the lowest temple. Your body is the lowest temple. See, that's what I'm saying. When we start building that relationship, and those who claim to be disenfranchised, well, let me slow this thing back. I have watched with a practiced eye and a photographic memory. I'm paying attention to these so-called leaders. I'm paying attention to they get into these groups and these disenfranchised segments of the church. Like yourself, they have failed to articulate the truth.
Yep.
Now you articulate the truth. You put the truth out there. You need some people to join you with this, and we can come together. You take people like Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King didn't do it by himself. You just seen the movie. He had a lot of people to join him. When you stand for something righteous, sir, in today's time and society, there are going to be a lot of people that will jump on that. When you get some people to join you, you have some other people join. You have some other people join. But we got to be just as radical as the enemy is. Look at the boldness. Look how the advocates work for the enemy. Look at the boldness,
true,
of them. Look how the police killing our people.
Yep.
Look at this stuff. They know they're on camera.
And they could not care less.
I mean, come
less.
On.
They could not
they
care
less.
There's nothing to them.
Yeah, so far as the fathers not being in the house, the single parents, the mothers raising the children by themselves. This is what I'm saying, you know. See, one thing about God is love. And I'm not trying to preach on this station, but I am an evangelist.
Amen.
You know, it's love. So once we start practicing these things, Paul teaches the practice. David taught us to meditate. Once we start practicing, sometimes we got to practice meditating. Sometimes we got to meditate on practicing. Once we start practicing these things, then man will love the woman before he lay down with the woman. Woman will love the man before she lay down with the man. You spoke on the man not being relevant in the house or being present in the house. You got these single parents. But when you get single parents, that's a process. Somebody got to lay down. Somebody got to take off their clothes. Somebody got
somewhere
to open up their legs. Somebody got to eject. Come on now. And we can't keep it 100 no more. We got to keep it 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that's a process.
Now, you mentioned something. Unity. My question is our people capable of doing that? Unfortunately, in my little world anyway, in Raleigh, North Carolina, coming from Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, and traveling up and down the East Coast, our people, African Americans, are incapable of doing anything constructive. How do we pull this together? I'm an advocate, Andre, on presenting a problem
mm-hmm.
without presenting a solution does nothing but present another problem. Based on your experience, what's the resolution?
I believe that like yourself, you have advocates. I know plenty of them. We even got a couple of them that's going to be calling in today, hopefully. And I've
right.
paid attention and I've watched them. And someone who goes out, that word radical, sis, that word radical means a lot. You know, I have people and relatives who used to be part of the Black Panther Party. Let's just say this, for instance. We're not trying to offend nobody. And I love my people. I love everybody. You take the gay community. Let's listen to this.
Right.
This is not
let's
being a racist. This is not,
talk.
This is not
do your thing.
This is bona fide talk. This is not. See, when you say bona fide, so we got to keep it solid, you know. And if we're gonna talk
right.
about it, we're gonna talk about it. There was a law that had passed. There was a proposition that had went forth, and they said, no, we will not allow you guys to do this. We will not allow you guys to do that. We will not. And it went from Sacramento. They stamped it, underlined it in red ink, and then it went all the way to Obama. His people signed it, and they said no. Let me tell you what happened. They got together in Milwaukee. They got together in Texas. They got together in Los Angeles. They got together in North Carolina. South Carolina, they got together in Atlanta, all over the world, and they turned a no into the yes. Now, let me tell you how it goes back to the biblical principles. There's a scripture in the book of Corinthians. God says, I'll take the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. So while we sitting up there putting our mouths on them, and they are our brothers and sisters in Christ, because everybody, look here, every sinner has a past, which lets me further know that every saint has a past, which lets me
Amen.
Further know that every sinner has a future. Now watch this. They turned a no into a yes. And the way that
yes,
they did it, they unified.
Yes, they did.
They unified.
Yes, they did.
We are capable. Yes, we are capable of unifying. But we got to come off our pride, and we got to come off our ego. Ego and pride is getting a lot of folks in trouble.
Yes, it is. And, you know, speaking of mindsets, I'm reminded of this letter that I read, and then we're going to bring it back to a multicultural environment, radio environment in just a second, but I've learned through people and my readings of the late, great Malcolm X. You know, he was a Muslim, but I support many of the things that he said regarding African-Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It is my belief, again, that we have lost our way, Andre, and that, you know, I hear you on the advocate thing, but that's a lot easier said than done, because we've been over here now, you know, again, brought against our will, nevertheless, but we've been over here a long time now, and it appears that every nationality under sun that crosses the borders of the United States, they are capable of uniting, and we aren't. I'm reminded of this letter that I was introduced some years ago, the Willie Lynch letter. Now, I don't know if Willie Lynch existed or not, but what I do know is that there are some serious parallels between what is going on in the African-American community and what was in that letter. Have you read the Willie Lynch letter?
No, I did not, but I've had a lot of people elaborate on it to me, my sister.
It's something. It goes into the purposeful brainwashing, oddly enough, starting with the ladies. Something along the order of the women are taught to baby the guys, because if the guys show any sense of leadership, they get beaten. Okay, showing,
right.
You know, it is promoting women taking on the leadership role. Okay, and now this thing has migrated or has manifested itself into something really large, because now not only are the men not in their proper place anymore, you know, a lot of them are bowing down. They're like, okay, this is the way that you guys want to do, you ladies want to do this, so we're going to sit back and we're going to wear the panties, and we're not even going to try to get a job. We're not even going to be responsible because you keep breaking me down and you keep going for the nonsense. Do you understand what I'm saying? These are things that are happening in our community every day, and I'm sorry. I blame, yes, sisters, I'm saying it. It's not all the men's fault. It's our fault. We need to learn to do what some like to say, shut the heck up. I'm sorry, Andre. That's just the way I see that thing. You know, I got to keep it real, bro.
That's real talk. That's real talk. That's real talk, sis. Glory be to God. I see what you just spoke on, and that coming out of that, taking that passage out of the Willie Lynch, and you don't even have to read that. That, I mean, that's just real talk. That's the way it's happening right now today. It messes the whole thing up, sis. Because when you get that in a relationship, and the woman, she wears what we like you just said, she wears the panties and the drawers. Then
right.
Let's just say, for instance, say if that relationship don't work, and then here comes along a good man. She noticed that he has some wonderful attributes about himself. And then because of the way that she's been accustomed to dealing with her relationship, because she has been, as you said before, and as the letter read, because she has been accustomed to dealing with men in this manner, when a good man comes along who's been raised in a most proper way, he got a good job, he know how to love on somebody, she don't even know how to welcome the love. Now, this is not to down the woman. This is not to down the woman, because you also got some men, you know, because it goes both ways. You know, that's why, we go to Psalms 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when God orders your step, you ain't just going to let anything and anybody say and do or treat you any kind of way. And that goes for man and woman, because the
Amen.
Woman stands from the rib of the man. So, you know,
Amen.
So we got to get this thing back in order, sis. But you are 100% accurate. I mean, this is what you see. So you have a lot of men, they not working, they dependent on the woman, straight up.
Yep.
They dependent on the woman. And so then they don't have no strong points about them. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. You better preach that.
Yeah.
You better preach it. That's the truth, babe. That is the truth. That is the truth, Evangelist Sandra. Bonafide Talk family, we're going to go into another quick commercial break. This is pretty much the theme song for tonight's radio broadcast on Bonafide Talk. Men, we need you back in leadership. This is Evangelist Andre Bing Sr. with Are You Listening?
acting this way. You know that war is not the solution. I guess I'll kneel down and pray. Are you listening, brother? Why do we treat our women so cold? She's only searching for a solution as her story unfolds. But every time I turn around, it's black and white crime. We say that we're not crazy, but we're losing our minds. God put us on this earth so we can be of some help. But you can't help nobody if you can't help yourself. Are you listening, sister? Why do you talk to your children that way? It doesn't take all that cussing and fussing for them to hear what you say. Are you listening, sister? Why do you treat your body so wrong? Don't you know that your body is God's holy temple, not just another sad song? But every time I turn around, it's black and white crime. We say that we're not crazy, but we're losing our minds. God put us on this earth so we can be of some help. But you can't help nobody if you can't help yourself.
Tell me if you was gonna have me crying on your show. See, that ain't right. That ain't fair. That's
just the epitome of this episode. You know, welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're listening to it live right now with our featured guest, Evangelist Andre Beam, affectionately known as Simply Dre. And you know, Andre, you know that's it. You know what I mean? But I want to tap into something real quick. That song is hitting the charts like a bullet, isn't it?
Yes. We are actually, that is our anthem. We're making that our anthem for the Bay Area, not just for our city of Richmond, but for the entire Bay Area. We have a lot of good things going on too, but there are also, we see a strong force of negativity coming in. And so those of us who are in a position to
and like I say, our leaders. See, we can't expect the community to come together, sis, if we do not, as leaders, people with these titles or whatever have you, if we can't come together, they're watching us.
Precisely.
And so,
precisely.
You know what I mean? They are watching us. They're paying attention to our moves. And they see that, like I said, we got a lot of people out there doing something positive, but can these people come together as one? I'm telling you right now, we can come together. We can turn over a law. We can change the world. We can become, oh, my God, it's just so much, but we cannot do it without God. And so are you listening? Yes, it is climbing the charts. And God put that song in my spirit, believe it or not, when I was walking those cold streets of Oakland and Richmond, California, when I was going through what I was going through. Again, we both know that word through is an action word. I knew in my spirit that I was going to come out of what I was going through. And so I thank God for bringing me out. And now I am able to share that with other people, because what it is, just essentially, we want to know what the people are listening to. You know, what are you listening to? What are you allowing to go in you, in your spirit? Because what goes in, sis, is what essentially comes
out. Amen, amen. And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. So now, Andre, you and I have been doing a lot of talking. You and I have been doing a lot of talking. We're going to let some other people get in on this conversation. If anyone has a question or a comment or would like to contribute to tonight's discussion, if you're in the chat room, I see you. I love you, baby. Go ahead now if you want to say something and dial 347-327-9688 and press 1. And for you, oh, my gosh, Andre, the switchboard is lit. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in to Bonafide Talk. Thank you so much. Press 1 now if you have a question or a comment, okay? Don't be shy. Your voice matters. That's why this platform, Bonafide Talk, was built. It was built for you, sweetie. Okay, so we got a couple of shy people on board, Andre. That's cool. That's not a problem. You know, you mentioned it. We tapped into the African-American community. And although I am a human rights activist also, Andre, you know, no diss or anything like that, but my dedication or my loyalties lie with my own, because we can't even begin to, you know, fully embrace everyone else until we get us straight. Amen? And we have a caller.
Yeah.
Caller with the number ending in 6009. You are now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question or comment?
Good evening, Minister. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great, sir.
That's good. That's good. Blessings, blessings, blessings to you. I am Minister Marius, and I support Minister Bean wholeheartedly in his experience in expressing to the young men of today that there's nothing we can do of any value without God.
Amen.
Apart from God, we're nothing. And it's just unfortunate that in our community, young men today have lost what was passed on to many of us that are older from our parents, and that is a relationship and the necessity to have a relationship with God. I know it's a simplistic and simple saying, and Andre and I, we often have said this before, and I know that it comes down to many people seeing God's words being cliche-ish, but the scriptures do tell us, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Lose his soul, amen.
And the fact that our value system is so unstructured and so much like the world. I was sharing with a minister friend of mine that the problem that we face today in the Christian church is the church looks so much like the world that the people in the world do not see a necessity and a need they have for what is in the church and what the church has, and that's salvation.
Amen.
We look so much like the world, our value system, the things that we use to measure success by looks so much like the world's way of measuring success and the values of the world that the people in the world no longer see a need that they have for what we have, and that's salvation. And so it makes us in particular who are ministers, it reminds me of what the Lord has left us here to be, and that is ambassadors for him. And if you understand what ambassadorship is, you're an official representative of a country. In whatever country you're in, you're officially representing that country in the country you're in.
Absolutely.
And for us as ambassadors for Christ, the Bible makes it clear that we are in the world, but not of the world.
But not of the world. Amen. You better preach.
The Bible,
amen.
The Bible makes it clear that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so, therefore, the things that were once applicable to us in the old kingdom no longer have authority over us in the new kingdom. But in order for us to understand that, and apply
amen.
That,
I love you for that. I love you for that, brother.
Amen.
I love you for that. There it is right there. There it is right there. And you
absolutely.
Know what? And again, we thank you for calling in, D, all the way from Fairfield, California, one of my ministers, and I found a soldier in the army of the Lord. But I want
right.
to say to one thing before you hang up, brother, because we got other callers coming in. But we want to say to you, brother, that it is our duty and obligations as ministers, as leaders, as evangelists, as preachers, we have to show them what that light look like. See, if
precisely.
You're not familiar with something, then you then it's foreign to you. So, brother, I
yes,
say to you, just continue to join me in this fight. Stay with us, man. Let's stay on this battlefield, man, because there are some people out there, and they are listening, they are watching, and we are going to show them what light and what love and what our God looks like. Amen?
Amen.
That's
amen.
Why we left
amen.
Here.
Amen. And
God
you know,
bless you, brother.
Brother Minister, you know what? I am in total agreement with you both. I have to say this, though. The only difference between us and the church, though, us in the world, there are more men attending and participating in the sins of the world than what's going on good in the church. I'm just saying. We have another caller,
yeah.
ladies and gentlemen.
I understand.
Right.
God bless you.
Right.
Caller
amen.
With the number in 3574. You're now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question or comment this evening?
Well, praise the Lord to
praise
you,
the
host of Bonafide Talk, and also Minister Andre Bean. I want to say that I appreciate you all touching on this subject and this topic on today. I am a mother of three sons, and you began to talk about the men receding in the church or receding, period, and the women taking a step forward. And as a mother, I just want to propose a question to the both of you. How do you walk the women walk with such power for so long and then have the men come on the scene and then have to let that power go after it being released into their hands for so long? And this is a question for many of our sisters because they had to carry the torch. They had to be the mother. We could never be the father, but we had to step up to the plate to be the breadwinners and, you know, be the heads of the household and also raise these boys. But then we want to release them into society as successful men. But then we also have to carry the hat and the torch of being the provider of the home. So if you can help me with this question in, you know, this society, the 21st century. I mean, we all know we're living in the 21st century. It's no more the woman stays at home and, you know,
no.
and make sure that, you know, the bath water is drawn and, you know, your dinner is cooked. Now we're doing
true.
The, you know, we're working and we're out there providing. And then we're coming home and having to make these ends meet.
Right, right, right. Andre, if I may, let me start off on this one. My sister, first of all, thank you for tuning in to Bonafide Talk and thank you for your question. It's a valid question. I'm not going to kid you. Woman to woman, that's not going to be an easy task. You know, because we've been the breadwinner, we've been the supporter, we've been the motivator. You know, we take our children to basketball, cheerleading, football, and all these other things. And then we run across a man who seems to be okay, but because of our past experiences, we don't quite know, you know. So my advice would be, and now speaking from experience, my advice would be is to take your time. And if you do allow a man in your life, don't let him meet your children right away. And the reason that I say that is because, unfortunately, it happens to be true. Sometimes men don't think quite the way that we do, sister. You know what I mean? Some of them are just in it to, and I hate to be so blunt, but I don't know any other way but to be bona fide.
Be blunt,
some men are just in it to hit it and run. You understand what I'm saying? And some really want to contribute to your life. So that's when our wisdom and our power of discernment comes in, okay? But I would be very careful, my sister, about allowing a man to meet your children right away. Put him on probation for a second. What I find myself doing now when I allow men to come into my life, the first thing that I do is I'm like, hey, boo, what is your last name? You know, what is your sign? What is your birthday? Okay, so Evangelist Fonda, why do you do that? Well, there happens to be a public website that all I need to know is that individual's name and birthday, and I will see if he has a criminal record or not. That's the way I have to get down nowadays, you know. So I'm just saying the time will come, you'll know, just slow walk it and let God talk to you, okay?
Praise God. Thank you so
Amen.
Much for that.
Now, I would say to this woman, she said something about after having to do all these things, how do you relinquish that power to a man? Well, you keep it because you have to understand, first of all, where the power comes from. See, this is what I'm telling you. There's no way around it. God is in all situations is leading right back to God. The Bible says in Luke, you go to Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, when Jesus called all 12 of his disciples over. What did he tell them? He said, I give you the power and the authority. So since you got the power and you got the authority, now realize where the power and the authority comes from. It comes from God. So when it comes from God, it coming from God, God is also the one that gives you a discerning spirit. He'll show you what is true, what is not true. So you don't have to worry about is this going to be all right for me? I'm telling you right now, when you start really asking God to show you how to, we just have to get to that point. Because a lot of times, I mean, if I got to go as far as checking somebody, because there are some women, I have a friend of mine that work, my pastor is an officer, you know, and I know a whole bunch of I'm doing what I do. Let me rephrase that, doing what God has assigned me to do. I know a whole bunch of police, and I have had people check people out for me, and then the Holy Spirit quickened me. You know, now to each his own. Because if I got to go that far, then I say, wait a minute. Because that make me a little, I'm kind of like walking on pins and needles. I'm with this girl, and then I see something about her past that was way, way, way out there. But I do also know that people can be delivered. Again, every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. So therefore, I would say to you, know where your power comes from. He said, and then when you get that power, he said, you'll be able to cast, you know, walk, trample over demons, you'll be able to heal the sick, you'll be able to do certain things, but it also will lead you into a way of when you realize where that power comes from, that power comes from Jesus, as we all know, it comes from God, and God will not leave you dumb, sirs. God will not leave you, as the Bible says, ignorant. God will not leave you silly. God, he didn't tell you were a virtuous woman, and then you'd be a stupid or ignorant or whatever you want to call it type of woman. That ain't how God get down. So you would not have to relinquish that power. We just thank God. You know what, sister? I thank God that you have that power to where you are a single mother raising those boys. You are a mighty mother. You are a strong mother. You are a beautiful mother. You are a unique mother. And you are a precious mother. You are a woman with the power. You are a woman with that authority. And for that, and those reasons alone, that makes you a virtuous woman. And I just want to say to you, keep doing what you're doing, and God will put somebody in your path, and by you being connected to God vertically, you will know that it came from God, and this man will join in, and he, what we say, says he will get in where he fit in, and together
they
will live happily ever after. Until God sends him, don't even worry about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and know where your power comes from. Your power comes from God.
Amen.
Praise
you
God.
Better preach that,
Amen.
Andre. Glory
Amen.
Be to God. Glory be to God. I thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise
God. We have another caller, guys. Caller with the number ending in 5736. You're now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question or comment for tonight's discussion?
Well, I was going to answer the previous caller's question, but it sounded like it was answered very well by the minister.
Glory be to God.
I think a good man knows when to recognize the love of a mother and to step out of the way, because no one can compare, except for the love of God, can anything compare to the love of a mother. And I know early in my life, when I was looking for someone to share my life with, I learned that a man and thinking the way young men do, which is somewhat schizophrenic at a young age. I was blessed with a good grandmother to look for in a woman. She told me, don't worry about it. It was almost like what you just told the young lady on the phone. She said, don't worry about it. What you do is you go to God. And you ask Amen. God to send somebody. And he did that.
Amen.
And I learned to fall in love. I fell in love with a young lady without the pressures of the expectation of sex.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I grew from
Amen.
That. Now, I'm older now, and I've learned that there are different kinds of leadership. And I think what we as Christians tend to do is sometimes we get blinders on and we don't recognize the types of different kinds of leadership that even Jesus exemplified while he was on earth.
Amen. It's
and
true.
He was able to delegate. He didn't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he needed something to ride on when he was going to enter Israel, did he not send someone out to go get the colt? He didn't go do it himself.
That's right. That's right.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely.
Did he not allow the woman come in and she washed his feet with her hair?
Yeah.
He allowed people to do what came natural and true to them.
Right, right.
You
right,
know?
Right, right. Absolutely. And Carla, we appreciate your contribution. I do apologize, and I hate to have to cut you off. We may even have to do a part two to this thing. Thank you so much for your contribution. Stay with us. There's more to go through, okay? Love you so much. Pastor Andre, men have begun to avoid the church kind of like the plague. The lack of men in church is not at all difficult to see. You know, we open our eyes any given Sunday morning and go to church. The ladies are filling the pews, and the men are not there. What's going on? What is your take on it? Have we unintentionally designed the church so that it caters more to the needs of women, more so our men? And see, this thing is not just a I don't like using the word black. That just irks me because black, I mean, I'm going to get into that. But for our African-American people, what do you think is going on?
Well, I'm going to be honest and truthful with you, sis. There's a scripture in the Bible somewhere again in the book of Psalms. God says, do not fret because of evildoers. I hear a lot of people, they talk about the reason why they don't go to church. When I evaluate a lot of the men that I work with in terms of when I'm out there doing what I'm doing, when I'm in the streets, because I go into the trenches of this thing. I'm very bold with what I do, and I carry this mantle, and I don't walk in fear and none of those things. When I talk to the men, they always talk about what they heard, what they see this pastor doing this, and they heard about this church doing that. They'll point out everything that irritates them, as opposed to, and see, this, here it is again. This is why I was telling the other caller when we had the man call in before the preacher man. I wanted to say to, that's why I was saying, people who claim to have a relationship with God, we have to show the people what love is. Now, the minister that just got off the phone, may God bless his heart, because he was saying that, you know, ministry comes in many different forms. There are many people who are called to do different things. You know, when Jesus was washed, when he stepped out for the donkey, it's different other things, you know, like the woman called in, bless the woman of God who called in and was saying how she raised in. See, that's another form of ministry, that she's showing other women how they can do it by themselves, you know. And so what I'm saying is, when God says, do not fret because of evildoers, no, be envious of workers of iniquity. So if I don't want to go to the church, and now I'm not, there's some good leaders in some churches, but then we also know that there are some crooked things. So man,
right.
Man, he'll, a lot of the men, you talk about that in conclusion to answering this question, man, he'll, a lot of men, they look at that and say, I'm not going because I don't like what he's doing. But see, he's not even aware of this scripture. So he just say, well, forget it, I'm not going. So he make up all these excuses why not not to walk into a building and go bless God as opposed to looking to see if God ever looked for any reason not to bless him? You know, so man is his way of thinking. The Bible says, so as a man thinketh, so is he. And the number one reason, since you and I was talking about this before the show, distractions. He has been distracted. He has That's why. That's why it is my duty. Like you said a minute ago, you're speaking for yourself. I'm speaking for myself, and hopefully other leaders that want to join me in this. It is our duty and obligation to show the people what love looks like, what forgiving looks like. A lot of people getting gray hair at young ages, dying in stress because they can't forgive one person. Somebody that done them wrong, don't know what it's about, don't know what it feels like, don't know how they can release that thing and move on and reach the zenith of their potential of what it is that God has called him or her to do. So men have been distracted so much to where when they go in the church, they're not even looking for the truth no more. They're looking for the woman that's wearing the short skirt. They're looking for the woman with the nice body. And since most of the churches are filled with men, when the nice-looking men do walk in the church, 90% of them want the one man. The ones that are not married are involved with somebody else because they're not accustomed to seeing men walk in church with their head up, dressing nice, looking good, smelling good, realizing who he is in God. So man has been distracted. And I blame a lot of the other men, a lot of us leaders as men. We got to go out to these men. Don't be afraid to hug them. Don't be afraid to show them, again, what God looks like, what God feels like. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. And we got to go out and we got to exemplify that into our world and to this society is essential.
And you know what? I agree 110% with you. Now, in addition to that, though, Evangelist Andre, here's my thing. My experience in churches of today and some research that I've done, it's almost as if, though, services and ministry are now catering to the needs of women. It has kind of like a, to an extent, a feminine overtone to it. And, you know, I'm just thinking that maybe we need to do a little revamping in terms of how we conduct services, just a little bit. Something, because, you know, men, men got the egos going, you know. They don't want to, you know, do certain things because it may seem kind of soft and stuff like that. I'm not trying to say make church gangster. But what I am saying is, can we not begin some sort of movement that will attract our men to come back? You know, the guys are going to, like, I'm sure half the men in America right now are listening to the sports events right now. I don't know who the heck is playing, but I know my pastor's looking at it, you know. But you know, we need to begin to do things to entice our men to come back without their masculinity being attacked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what, sis? I agree with you totally. Matter of fact, it gets to a point to where you can just walk into a building. That's why I can't blame some folks. You can just walk into a building. See, the Bible talks about this in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 24. Paul said, it's going to come to a time, and this is what's happening right now, that God, sadly, all these churches, the storefronts, the strip clubs, what used to be an Albertsons or a Walmart and turned into a church now, the church is on every corner. But here's the trip. Acts 17, 24, lets us know that we are in a time right now that God, Paul says, that God does not dwell in the temple that's built by the hands of man.
Amen.
Now, here it goes right now, sis. See, your question was why people are not entering into the building. But now when you want to talk about where God really resides, the real church, your body is the Lord's temple. And
Amen.
Nothing, according to my scriptures, according to the book of Romans, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. But again, I can't lead you where I'm not willing to go myself, and I can't teach you about what I don't know. Faith come by hearing, my sister, and hearing the word of God.
Amen. Amen. You better
preach.
This
is a Christian show.
Preach on preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another caller. Caller with the number ending in 0417. You're now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion?
Yes.
Hello?
God bless you.
Yes.
God bless you. God bless you. This is EB, and I am calling God Bless You Evangelist Bean. Just got the message about the talk show. God bless you, woman of God, for having
such a
dynamic show. I've been listening for a minute, and I'm so impressed by God and by the oneness of his spirit, he's saying the same thing through his sons and his daughters. At this time, I'm thinking about the woman who came on about the children, who she's raising the sons, which is a very big task for a woman.
Yes.
But she mentioned something so significant. She said, how do she relinquish her position? And the part two of that is what Evangelist Andre Bean was just saying, and you also were speaking in regards to it about the church and the men, so I'm going to be very brief. But with the woman, there's a place in the Bible, and I was ministering today, and I was praying for a couple, and I was saying how God wants the woman to be subjected, in subjection to her husband and submitted, but he also wants the man to be submit to the wife. And so the things, and I'm fixing to intertwine all of this together with what you were saying about the church. So one of the big things within the church today, world, with the responsibility of whose place is who, to have banana pudding, you can't put carrots in there. You have to put bananas in there. You have to put cookies in there. You have to put pudding in there. So when people try to mix carrots with banana pudding to get a banana pudding, you're not going to get a banana pudding. So it goes back to what the man of God was saying about the spirit of discernment. We are presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. One of the problems, man and woman of God, and all of those that are listening, in the church world, for the men that a lot of them are not coming, I'm finna say this is gonna be a hard hitter, is because the women, a lot of women, see, sometimes we say men, but let's just take it all the way to the level of this. Sometimes the woman of God who's crying holy in church and she's doing everything she can to show her pastor and all the other people what they can do in the church, and the man at home, and that love, I heard Evangelist Bean speak about that love. We have to show forth that love. It's not being displayed at home.
Come on
now. When she's wanting him to come to church, he's not coming to church because you turned your back to him and said you had a headache when he's saying, let's get it on. I mean,
you're not
giving the love that needs to be given at home in some cases, not all cases. So if you're not showing forth love at home, why would he want to follow you to church?
True.
And if your conversation is about your pastor more than it is your husband, why do he want to go there? Because he ain't looking at him as a spiritual man. He looking at him as a man. I'm a counselor. I'm a psychotherapist. I deal with a lot of people who have issues in the church, and it all boils down to respect in the home, even for women being able to come into their Boaz, or their Boaz find them. It's all about presentation. It's all about presenting your body a living sacrifice. It's all about having dignity and respect for yourself. It's all about preparing yourself and positioning yourself for what God has for you and not going past him to get it.
Lady,
hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know what, sister, I tell you right now, that's just my sister Evie coming all the way. Now, she works also, Sister Evangelist Falona, she works with iHeartRadio. She's all the way from Alabama, coming and calling us all the way from Alabama. So we would like to thank you. And you know what, you opened up, sister, you done opened up a can of worms, Evangelist Falona, we have gotten some real good answers. Our listeners, we want to thank all you guys because we have some good answers that are coming from people. I'm quite sure if Evangelist Bean or Evangelist Falona, if we can't do it, then I know you have heard something that can at least put you in a position to get prepared to start making the right decision so you can start having these things. When God said, I want to say this to everybody, when he said that I have given you life that you may have it more abundantly, that meant everybody. You understand?
Everybody.
And you got to understand, and above everything, we got to get wisdom and knowledge. Sometimes we want all the stuff, and then we attach our faith to that stuff. And you take that stuff away from us, and all of a sudden, we don't know what to do. I'm telling y'all right now, We are just in a position right now. All you got to do is turn on the news for 2 minutes, my brothers and sisters. And it seems like they're having competition with one another that who can show the worst news, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for us to take bold stands. Believe me, if the enemy can use his advocate, God got some people down here on earth, and we got to show this in the Lord's Prayer, heaven on earth. Glory to God. Stop looking back at yesterday. The woman said so many things that were very prevalent and relevant, you know. And anybody putting his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom. Stop looking back at what he or she did to you. Again, we got to learn how to forgive. She spoke something about how the woman can talk. I've dated women. I'll be honest with you. I'm a single man in terms of not being married, and I've been around people. They talk more about their pastor this, bishop that, and go off into their tongue, whatever kind of tongue it is. I don't know if it's something from the Holy Spirit or something from the Holy Spirit. I'm just keeping it 1,000. Again, 100 ain't good enough for both of these people. So then they say, you know, so what she thinking is turning me on is actually turning me off. Can we just be transparent for a minute? Can we just have some conversation? God is in all. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that God is all and in all.
Amen. Yes, he does say
Amen.
That.
So, you better preach it.
You better preach it. Now, I want to bring something else to the forefront for the second time.
Yes, ma'am.
This has been a wonderful discussion. I love it. I love the input that we're getting. See, this is how we get issues resolved, by bringing the problems to the forefront and coming up with solutions, okay? All right, so back to positioning our men to get back into positions of leadership. The way I see it, for what it's worth, and I definitely want your input on this, Andre, the way I see it is that we need to put on kind of sort of like a rally, if you will, for the lack of a better term, to get our men to help build their confidence up, one, to help build their sense of pride and integrity in themselves. And it definitely it starts in the home. I get that, you know, because if the home is jacked up, everything else is going to be jacked up too. I get that. But I also, in my opinion, have to hold the church accountable, you know, in a lot of this, because we're not doing some things exactly right. I think that there's more that we can do for those of us that we say we're leaders. Let's lead leaders. There's some things that we need to work on in terms of enticing or encouraging our men to come back. Don't preach a sermon to a few men with nothing but women to say, you don't need no man who's got bad credit, or a man that's got this, or a man that's got that. You know, do you see what I'm saying? You know, that's not helping any.
Yes.
We need to do things to bring our guys back in, so that they feel confident, so they're taught how to live Christ-like, so that they're taught the necessary skills to be a productive leader and to be a productive citizen in society. And to get things back in order, we're out of order, Andre. We're out of order. What do we do to get the guys back? Yes.
Well, but the way you got to do it, if you're going to get them to come back, that means they have left. So we have to leave. We got to go out of the church. We got
Amen.
To go out of the walls. They talk about it. I'm telling you right now, a lot of them, sisters, I'm going to be honest with you, they invite me to their churches, and when I preach the hell up out the atmosphere, I know for a fact they'd be ready to give me restraining orders. We don't want him coming back, because we're going to tell the truth about this thing. Yeah, real talk. Because now, they so accustomed to all that old other stuff. All that old other stuff. I just call it some other stuff. I don't know what it is. You know, if I'm walking in church, a lot of people coming to get their lives changed. We want to hear something that's gonna prick our spirits. You know, I'm coming here. I want a new start. I'm coming. I fell off. I need you to minister to my soul. I need you to minister to my spirit. And sometimes you can go into these mega churches. My brother Jamal Bryan said it real good. You can go into a mega church, and if you connect it to the spirit, you'll realize it has a minor ministry. It can show you a whole bunch of stuff, but it don't have nothing to do with building God's people. The men and women of God who are connected to the Spirit, we must go out of the church. God says, go ye into the nation. And share the good news to all creation. So we got to come up out of the church. That's why I'm glad that my position, and that my pastor, who I love dearly, Pastor Nathan Justin, that he saw it on me. I was doing it anyway. He said, we're just going to call you Evangelist Bean. And, you know, of course, I had to go through what I had to go through and get my license, and it's done legitimately. But I'm glad that I am in the field, because I am seeing these people. Since, again, the church is really the body. body. Your body is the Lord's temple.
Amen.
And that's where it all starts. And so sometimes when you see this stuff that you see in churches you just spoke on, I agree with you, sis. I'm not even going to sit up here and lie. A lot of times I tell people I don't even do church. I don't do that like that. I'm glad that I get these assignments. And when I go into a church, my spirit will pick up what it is, and I'm going to preach what God has told me and called me and assigned me to preach. Because that's the thing. When you go into the church, you see all that other stuff, you get distracted. And then you got the
yep.
man who don't want to come back to church because he came in there hurt. He came in there broken, and he wanted to get his soul and his household in order. And you preaching about prosperity. Well, if I get $1 million, ain't nobody taught me how to keep this $1 million.
Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, they had a show on the lottery about that. People were winning millions of dollars. I wish I win the lottery. And some people win 20, 30 million and broke in 2-3 years because they didn't nobody teach them how to obtain 20, 30 million.
Right, right.
Again, so
right.
is the man thinking, so is he.
So is
Do
he.
Not be
Amen.
Conformed to this world, but be transformed. And the church, a lot of churches, I'm going to say this, sister, I'm going to shut up. A lot of churches, the Bible says, do not be conformed of this world, but be ye transformed. A lot of churches have become more accustomed to being conformed of this world as opposed to changing the world. They have allowed that worldly stuff to creep into their atmosphere.
Amen.
And they have allowed people to feel comfortable. You can come here after the club smelling like weed, and we ain't going to say nothing about it. You can come
right.
here with all your little sashay and wearing your mini skirt up there, and we ain't going to say nothing about it. Because we don't want to lose no members. We want membership so we can get this dollars and we can keep this $1 million building paid for
Hello.
Every year.
Hello. And you have the unmitigated goal to say come as you are to justify that nonsense. You better come on, somebody.
That's
Preach,
right.
Preach, Andre.
That's right.
Preach. Preach. I messed up on that. Sorry about that, guys. We had a slight technical difficulty. I want to reach back to the gentleman with the number 5736. I left you open. Did you have any other question or comment or any other contribution to tonight's discussion?
I think bringing men back to the church is, like you said, it's something that starts in the home. But I think it's as a parent, I know growing up sometimes, you know, my pastor used to say, be careful what you say because you don't know who's looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes we might get up on a Sunday, might feel a little tired and act like we don't want to go to church. But if our children see that, then they're going to think that church is a place that they don't want to be at.
Sure.
And I think that when we get up and we take our children to church and we let them see what we get out of church, then guess what? They will get the same thing. I was in church today, and there was a little girl, and Aaliyah, and she just she couldn't read yet. She wasn't but 2 years old, but, you know, she stood up in the pew, and she held her hymnal just like her mother, and she sang along just like everybody else. And I think and it's something, you know, children imitate what they see first.
That they do.
And I think that's where we need to I think that's what we should do. I mean, yeah, people, I understand what the minister is saying. My brother tells me all the different reasons why not to go to church. But then once he's done, and I let him finish, and I say, okay, well, all the things he mentioned is true. Everywhere you go, you're going to find all of these problems. But that's why people go to church.
That's true. That's true.
That's why they go to church. Would you want to go to a church where everything is perfect? You know, that's why people
right.
go.
Right.
People
Absolutely.
Go. And I tell them, you go to church.
And that's
you
and see, I think that sometimes we also miss, guys, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying guys, plural. I think that we missed also that church is more to it than just a building, okay? It's very important because that's where we get our rejuvenation, that's where we hear the word and that type of thing. But it's very important for us to remember that the church lives inside of us. For some people,
yep.
they will never go back to those four walls ever again because of church hurt or various different things. The closest thing they'll ever see to church is the way that we live our lives. Amen. I want to also acknowledge
Amen.
The caller that was on with the numbers ending in 7840. Did you have a question or comment or any further to contribute to tonight's discussion? Okay, they must be away. We are towards the
close. Do we have Rodney Alamo on the line? Do we have Rodney Alamo since you see his number up there?
I have not seen him or Lady Jazz. I have not. I have not.
Okay.
Mr. Alamo, if you're on, press 1, please, so that we can acknowledge you. No, Andre, they aren't here, sweetie. Not just going. That's okay, though. With your help, and if you're willing, if you have the opportunity, Andre, I would love to do a part 2 with you just on this because there's so much territory that we didn't get to cover tonight. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're towards the end of our show. We have another caller. Hold tight. Caller with the number ending in 8863. You're now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question or comment for tonight? Okay. They drop. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're towards the end of the show tonight. We want to thank the wonderful evangelist Andre Bing Sr., affectionately known as Simply Dre, for being the featured guest on Bonafide Talk. Yes.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
What is your closing statement? What do we do to how we wrap this thing up?
I'm going to tell you how we're going to wrap it up. It's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 7. When God laid man down, and the Bible said that he laid him down and he breathed his breath into man, and man became a living being. I'm going to say to all the people who are listening, pay close attention to the words that are proceeding out of your mouth. The scripture says that God breathed breath into man, and man became a living being. So therefore, it is not your breath that you are working with. It is not your larynx that you are working with. You are working with the breath that God himself breathed into you. So my closing statement is stop wasting God's breath.
Powerful. Andre, we got some last-minute callers. Hold tight. Thank you so much for tuning in to Bonafide Talk. The number is ending in 8863. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion?
Just a quick contribution. My name is Elizabeth, and I just wanted to say thank you guys for what you're doing and, you know, the word that you've been putting out there. I mean, I'm a single mother of a 12-year-old on the verge of being 13, and, you know, just not struggling, but just going through the process of not having his dad present in his life and just seeing, you know, the changes that could have come had he been there, and just trying to surround him with positive male models in his life. That has been such a blessing. So to a lot of single mothers, you know, you don't necessarily have to look for a man or to find a man in your life. You can just find positive role models that your child, your son, your daughters can look up to. And that's, you know, pretty much what I wanted to contribute to that. And just to say to Minister Andre, he himself has been a positive role model in my son's life, Anthony Gill, who is a motivational speaker, you know.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
So thank you guys for what you're doing.
You're most welcome. Most welcome. And my closing statement for tonight, guys, I believe in you. Do you believe in you? Do you believe it when God says that he wants to bless us exceedingly, abundantly, above everything that we could ever ask for or think? He says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. All that to say,
keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's Bonafide Talk.
Bonafide Talk. Bonafide Talk.